You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The downtown east side of Vancouver has been called the heart and soul of the city. The historic district is home to nearly 17,000 people, many of whom are low income. The area has been under pressure from the city and developers to submit to revitalization, which many fear is actually gentrification and will result in many low-income people losing their homes, services, and community. Residents have been working with the city to develop a local area plan, and they're going to propose the creation of a social justice zone in the downtown east side to protect against the worst excesses of market-driven development. Ivan Drury is a community volunteer and organizer, and he joins us now to discuss this plan. Good morning, Ivan.
Good morning, Mordecai. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Now, how did this proposal for a social justice zone come about?
We created the local area planning process at the behest of City Council in January of 2011, when we were organizing to stop an overall height increase in the downtown east side, which would have offered a massive incentive package to developers to build condos throughout the neighborhood. And in the council's justification for stopping this height increase was that they would initiate and allow a local area planning process to go ahead and then revisit that height increase afterwards. So we've been part of that process since the beginning, and we won terms of reference for that process that had a majority low-income resident participation in the committee, which was supposed to form a partnership with planners to make the plan. And throughout this process, we've been working with the planning department in the city, and we formed an anti-gentrification caucus within that planning process of the majority low-income residents to ensure that people can both understand all of the planner jargon that's coming at us and all the many documents and meetings that we have to grapple with from City Hall, and also to be able to strategize how to defend the interests of the low-income community throughout this planning process. So as the time's gone on, this anti-gentrification caucus has started to create a parallel process where we maintain the voices of low-income residents and the visions and the interests of that community to ensure that it's not caught up and lost in the labyrinth of the city's bureaucracy. So the social justice zone plan has come out of that parallel work that we're doing alongside and with and kind of interwoven with to try to influence the city's planning process.
And because it's parallel, do you have as an objective that it is not an advisory group, it's going to actually have continuous impact?
Well, the agreements that we had with the city was that this planning process would be different than all of the ones that the city currently has going on in the citywide. There's four concurrent planning processes going on in different neighborhoods, and the one in the downtown east side is the most rigorous as far as resident involvement. But we've never agreed to be merely an advisory body, and the main recommendations that we've been pursuing throughout the time has been more and greater resident control over the future of the neighborhood, and to have the resident, low-income residents' ability to say no to proposals, whether they are condo developments or retail or boutique developments. We want residents who are going to be negatively impacted by those high-end market incursions into the downtown east side to have the power through agreements with the city to refuse licenses if they're going to cause more harm than good. And that's the sort of thing that wealthy people throughout the neighborhood, it's the power that they have sort of in some cases implicitly and in some cases explicitly. It's the power that the Harper government is trying right now to grant to people to say no to supervised injection sites if they're proposed in their communities. And it's the sort of bylaws that the city of Surrey has put in place against low-income serving businesses and services. And so we think that low-income people are much more materially damaged by gentrification than higher income people are by services for poor people who also live in their communities. So any justifications that there have ever been for why rich people should be able to say no to methadone clinics or homeless shelters, those claims are actually legitimate when it comes to low income people who will be displaced by a change in land value and investment climates because of gentrification.
So the process is parallel, but in the end, it's the city council that is going to make the final decision.
That's right. And okay. We do have a sort of a partnership with the planners to work on this plan, and we've seen that the community has really been influencing what the planners have been working out. But in the end, it does come down to city council, and before that, it comes to the city planning bureaucracy. The Brian Jackson, the director of planning, and Penny Ballum, the city manager, they will be making really decisions on even what is presented to council, and they're quite insulated from the planning process. They're not involved in it on the ground, so. We're worried about this power discrepancy, and that's why we're working on a social justice zone plan in public now, and we're doing a major petition drive and planning a rally on Tuesday in order to make these points public and external to the planning process, so we can put pressure on the entire city, all of City Hall, to ensure that the low-income community is protected by this plan.
Okay, what are some of the specific policies then outlined in the plan?
The main principle behind it all is that in the downtown east side, people should come before profit, and that we need to recognize that the real estate market and business speculation is harming low-income people. And so the first point is that we want to see the city stop condo development in the heart of the community in order to depress the price of the land and save the area for low-income people's homes when it's possible to win social housing programs, again, from senior levels of government. But what the city can do is hold back gentrification in order to prepare for the day when we can end the Harper moment and overturn Christy Clark. And this is a sort of a... But we need to have a long view of these things, because it's not possible to get the housing that we need out of the edges of the real estate market. And the second main point is to reverse the loss of homes and shops for low-income people by freezing rents in the SRO hotels and stopping the losses of those buildings, and giving the community the power to deny new business applications if they're going to harm the community. And we need jobs for low-income residents, which both means that low-income people should be building the homes that they will be living in when we get this social housing, and that we should adopt hiring policies for management of the services in the community, but also that the city should order the police to stop ticketing people for doing survival work. More than 95% of the city bylaw tickets and traffic violation tickets in the last 4 years were given out in the downtown east side, and those tickets are being used as a sort of a modern day vagrancy law that polices who is able to be in public spaces. And we want to see the city stop that practice. And the last two is that we want to protect residents' safety, both to protect women and other vulnerable people against violence by funding and extending more programs and services for women in more safe spaces, and also by stopping police brutality and harassment. And we need to recognize that there is an epidemic of police brutality and harassment in the downtown east side, and that we need an independent police investigations office there. And the last thing is that we want to end discrimination in the downtown east side, so that Chinese-speaking, Spanish-speaking residents can access the services that everyone else can, and that we make the downtown east side a sanctuary zone where all people have access to health and housing and social services, whether or not they're citizens of Canada.
So clearly this is linked to a much larger scale fight, not just in the neighborhood, but against a neoliberal agenda at the provincial and the federal level. How would you make that connection to these larger spheres of struggle?
Well, the downtown east side, the poverty in the downtown east side is not produced in the downtown east side. It's merely visible in the downtown east side, which is what makes the neighborhood, and it always made the neighborhood, a locus of struggle. But it is the neoliberal policies that flow out of the federal and provincial governments and are now being dealt with through adaptation at the civic level, which is producing this, all of the oppressions that people deal with here. And so what the city can do and what we can do on a local level is that we can improve the grounds for a broader struggle. So it's difficult now to fight against the provincial and federal governments for different for social services funded by taxation, which suddenly appears as a radical demand, when in fact historically it's been a pretty moderate one. But we're in a place of having to fight for even the most basic rights for low-income people and for racialized people in this country. And in the Downtown East Side, we can carry on this fight, and there is a history of carrying on this fight here. But we need a break from the pressures of gentrification and the threat of displacement. So as people are fighting for immediate survival, it becomes difficult to wage this longer-reaching and broader a fight of a broader scope. But I believe that if we can win this social justice zone, the Downtown East Side can again be a base for these broader fights that link in with working class and low-income people's needs throughout the city and across the country.
Would you say, in the experience so far, with your negotiating with the local area planning process, can you say the city has been negotiating in good faith?
The expression that we've used for the majority of the local area planning process has been that we've always had the feeling that there's been a talk and log process going on, that the city has bound us up in a planning process where we're investing thousands of hours in discussions. And it has been an overwhelming investment of time. And then while we do that, they level the low-income community and build condos. So we're planning the future of the neighborhood while all around us the neighborhood is falling apart. And that certainly doesn't feel like very good faith. But the complicated thing is that within the Downtown East Side, there are 8 separate planning districts. And so the other significant planning districts, Victory Square, Gastown, Chinatown, and Strathcona, all had their own individual community plans or development plans that were done in the recent past. And those are not going to be disturbed by this planning process. And in fact, there's been a tremendous wave of development that's gone on through those areas, particularly in Chinatown, and the first sparks of property combinations of major investments in the eastern part of the Downtown East Side. And we've been partly bound up in this process and not able to respond in the same ways we would have if we weren't here. And so there is certainly an element of talk and log, or some bad faith negotiation styles that have been happening here. But we do have hopes to influence the plan for this heart of the community in the Downtown East Side Oppenheimer District. And we hope that in this area we can have a bulwark against gentrification, and that the city can recognize because of this extensive process, and they can understand, and also because of the pressure being applied outside, that if they don't stop gentrification here, there's going to be a major crisis of homelessness, and that if there is nothing to replace something like 2,000 SRO hotel rooms in that district, extinguished by rent increases. If there's nothing to replace them, then those people are going to be in the streets. And so we do have hopes that we'll be able to win some minimal concessions to at least stop the worst of the displacement crisis.
At the beginning of our discussion, you mentioned some campaigns that you had underway. Can we close with you giving a little bit more about these steps you're taking and that people can join in solidarity with?
Yes. Yeah, so in the last over the last 2 weeks, we've been organizing a major petition drive and outreach campaign throughout the community with these 5 points of the Social Justice Zone plan. And we've been door knocking in many of the hotels and on the street from 11 in the morning until 7 at night pretty much every day. And we have well over 1,000 signatures from the community on this plan now. And we're going to be, the next step is to mobilize the community and its allies to say that we need the city to take urgent action to stop the displacement crisis and to put people before profit in this community. And so we're going to have a demonstration on this coming Tuesday, June 11th at 1 p.m., starting at the corner of Main and Hastings. And we want everyone to come out who supports the low-income community in the Downtown East Side and take a stand here against gentrification. We think that a lot of people in the community are going to come, and we would love to have the support of allies there as well in order to show that this is about protecting people against the violence of displacement, but that's not a Downtown East Side issue only. And that we need to stand together to fight against this entire system that puts real estate speculation ahead of the lives of people.
Well, thank you very much, Ivan. That's June 11th, Tuesday, Maine and Hastings, 1 p.m. Join in the rally.
That's right. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Ivan Drury about the proposed creation of a social justice zone in the downtown east side. And to show your support, sign the petition, which will be circulating in the neighborhood until Monday. And as Ivan mentioned, attend the follow-up rally at Maine and Hastings on Tuesday, June 11th, 1 p.m.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, B.C. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@cooperadio.org.